I'm too serious. I'm too serious. She's more entertaining than me.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three, getting close to go home mode on Friday Eve. And it's been a good show. I mean, we had the Speaker of the State House sitting here with us for about 45 minutes talking about workforce development and things that we've got to focus on to get Alabama's labor force truly engaged. And then we had an epic moment there with Butters and Lee. That was good doings, man. I'm hopeful. I'm willing to accede some of my points to you today if it means you get a day three win.
Well, I think Lee takes a lot of my points.
Lee may wind up coming out on top. John can be rather partial.
Well deserved.
We'll see. John from, brand spanking new in the text line, did not tell us where you're from or what your name is. We got to know those things. Says, how about finding a Republican that can win in the newly created black district? Yes, they are. If you, Mr. Anonymous, Ms. Anonymous, we just had former state senator Dick Brubaker on the show, who most recently announced he's considering a run for Congress. And he's a white guy, not afraid of the district. He's certainly known in the district, and he's also, by the way, a Republican. I do believe, too, that there are any number of people out there that are strong, conservative, black citizens who would run as a Republican. The general premise right now is you can't do that. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. It's called self-determination. We'll see what happens. Dwight from Decatur says, cut all taxes, not just subsidize daycare. Okay, but again, we're not subsidizing daycare. We're talking about cutting taxes if the employer, the private organization, will provide daycare. But it's just being talked about right now. Kenny from Elkmont says, I don't know what he's talking about here. Bad, 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 bad idea. Says they're going to make the Republican Party look like they're not serious about the business of the people. Oh, he's talking about Trump. Talking about making Trump the Speaker of the House. Okay, Kenny, we got you, man. Badger from Athens. Talking about the military. Recruiting was never an influence on me. I joined to follow a family tradition. Indeed, sir, I did too. I never had a recruiter that swayed me anything more than what I got from watching my dad and my granddad.
Lots of good discussions out there on how the military has kind of become a family business. And, yeah. You know, what impact that has on the society and recruiting as a whole.
It definitely had an impact on me. It definitely had an impact on other family members. Yeah, absolutely. Trina from Elkmont says, good one, Lee. I don't know which one it was because she had several good ones, but yeah, good one, Lee. Brian from Huntsville says, to Lee, hua, on her comment regarding Snap-on tools. Surf from Huntsville says, Lee is on fire. And then said, if by some additional shady Democrat plays, they steal the election again, that's when you elect Trump to the speakership. That's when you see heads explode. Yeah, but you got to keep in mind, too, there are House members up for reelection or election during that same thing. And we got a narrow majority. We got to keep the House, keep the Senate. And yes, I would love to see a strong leadership in both, which might not mean Mitch McConnell in the Senate. Isn't it about time for him to retire? Jeff from Indiana says, I love Lee. She's plain spoken. People need to hear that more often. Jeff, by the way, Jeff from Indiana, tell us how your sweet bride is doing. Hope things are going well today. Glenn from Bluntsville, the military's job is to break stuff and kill bad guys. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Turn people into hair, teeth, and eyeballs as needed.
Hair, teeth, and eyeballs, like in separate piles. Yes, indeed. John from Brownsboro, Trump will be the first presidential candidate to be mandated to stand on the stump of all the courthouse squares that are most hostile to him. It's a classic campaign style, but I don't agree with the reasoning. However, if they are setting the schedule and providing the platform and the talking points for him to stand on, don't think for a second he won't use it. He's going to save a bundle on advertising just like he did with Hillary. Well, there's that. I think it was George Wallace, former governor of state of Alabama, who said, doesn't matter what you say about you, as long as they spell your name right, it's good PR. TL from Huntsville says, when the establishment can hide behind the status quo, the problems get bigger. When the establishment gets shaken up, the true colors come out for all to see. Then there's the opportunity to make good change, and he quotes Luke 6:45. Metal Man Josh from Elkmont says, China's taken out the most likely people that are most likely to go to war for us with fentanyl. They already consider us already being at war. I've personally known at least 25 to 30 people that have died because of fentanyl. They probably just give fentanyl to the cartels, just take us out. Well, China is definitely the precursor place of origin for the vast majority of fentanyl in the world. It is. And it comes in to Mexico like they're shipping in, you know, produce to a store. And then the cartels package it up and send it across our border. It's awful. Gary from Decatur says, you go, Lee. That woman has a handle on the biggest problem in the military leadership today. He said, ask Butters, by the way, if the Air Force fighter pilot morale problem was as bad as the Navy aviators after Tailhook. So did you guys... Was the Air Force? Well, you weren't Air Force. You were Navy.
I was Navy. I actually spent more operational time with the Air Force than I did with the Navy. But it was a different problem. I was in, and especially in the reserves, I spent a lot of time with a lot of the Tailhook and post Tailhook guys. It was a very different problem. But kind of similar along the same lines.
Did they really play beach volleyball? In the Navy, did y'all do that?
Daily.
Yeah, I figured.
Yeah, especially on the aircraft carrier in the middle of the the Gulf.
Yeah,
where it was 140 degrees.
Big doings. John from Huntsville, if they really want a circus, they should nominate Bozo the Clown to be Speaker of the House. Well, there you have it. That would be a circus indeed. And then Tony from Tony, Alabama, says, Mark from Tony, ditch Mitch and Graham. Okay. He wants McConnell and Lindsey Graham gone, I guess is what he's saying. And by the way, Mark from Tony, we have you down as Tony from Tony. If you want us to change it to Mark from Tony, tell us. But for some reason, you are in our system as Tony from Tony. If we need to change that, we'll do it. All right, listen, plenty of stuff. The reality is, though, we don't know what's going to happen. I don't think it's going to be Trump. I really don't. I suspect that what's going to happen is sometime soon, Trump's going to let it be known, hey, fellas, all y'all, appreciate you. I would be so honored to be Speaker of the House, but right now, I got to stay engaged. So go over there and fight your battles and pick a new speaker that I think is super conservative and can do a great job, and then we'll see what happens. But I don't think that Trump is going to let them go to the floor and nominate him in a way that would truly bring him in as the potential Speaker of the House. My anticipation is he's going to relish the moment. He's going to make hay about the fact that people want him in D.C. to help clean up the swamp, but he's going to let them know he's got to stay focused on what he's doing right now. That's my assumption. I mean, I know what happens when you assume, but that's my assumption, is that he will probably at some point just make it very clear, neat idea, fellas. Let's don't do that. But I also look at it, too, and you got to be careful. I mean, right now, the margins are so thin. I mean, look at it. Kevin McCarthy was barely seated. I think it was like, 218 to 217? It was that close. Right now, he lost his seat 216 to 210. I mean, we don't need to let anything happen where somehow or another our act is not together and Democrats have the opportunity to continue to play the foil and they continue to put us in a position of being the laughingstock. We need to come in there. My preference is going to be get behind closed doors and decide who you want. Make it somebody who knows how to herd the cats and has the respect of the body. Make it somebody who, by the way, recognizes that can read the room, and not just the room in D.C. I'm talking about read the nation, read the sentiments, recognize that you're not a poll taker, but at the same time, you can't keep doing status quo and expect it to go well. Find that person who has the bona fides and the will and the ability to lead. And y'all, Get behind closed doors, pick them, and get out there and vote one time. Call it done. Call it a majority. Say, let's get back to the people's business and get her done. And that's what's going to have to happen. In my opinion, that's the best case scenario. You're not going to have one of these long, drawn-out battles where Republicans can't get their act together while Democrats sit there voting in a block. And every Democrat votes for or against what Republicans want. It's not going to be good. All right, listen, we're taking a break right now. We're coming back. I'm going to dive right into a few more things that are happening in D.C. We've had half a show based on what's happening right here at home. Now let's talk about swamp things. That's right. What's happening in the D.C. swamp? There's been a few other backstories in all this. I'll tell you about it when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Yeah, that's right. Making it cool to be a conservative. Gonna do, this is a second dipper. So, you know, bear with me. We had a huge dipper up front with the Speaker of the House here in the studio. And then we had, of course, Butters and Lee was like a wonderful interlude. And now I'm actually on dipper number two at 4:20 in the afternoon. Dang, bro. What? It's just hard. When you got this much content, it's hard to get through it all. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah. I don't know.
Just saying.
Maybe hurting your grade. I'm just saying.
I'll have to take that because I had to spend about 10 minutes catching up on you know, text messages because this is an interactive show.
Well, it's been fun. I appreciate the phone call from Brian just calling to say thanks. So
yeah, there you go.
That means a lot.
So I just you basically, by the way, you hear what I'm doing. I'm trying to butter up John from Huntsville Butters. Just trying to butter him up. All right, listen, I'm doing number two, swamp things. Let's talk about a few things happening in D.C. So first of all, I know some of y'all heard this, but I find this to be amusing, if you will. I find this to be rather enjoyable to some extent. Let's just be honest. I'm digging this. So the very first thing, so this guy named Patrick McHenry, House Speaker, interim House Speaker Patrick McHenry, he's the guy kind of holding the gavel in the interim, right? He's the guy who, if you saw it, he's the guy wearing the bow tie who slammed the gavel down, like almost broke the gavel when the vote was counted and Speaker McCarthy was ousted. Well, his first order of business was to recess the body unto a date to be determined. They're at what's called the call of the chair. He'll call them back in. They think it's going to be next Tuesday. What he's trying to do is give everybody a chance to collectively catch their breath and get in their caucus meetings, start figuring out, give whoever's going to run for the seat the opportunity to have a few days to get their votes together. I get it. They needed a few minutes. But the next thing he did was he kicked Nancy Pelosi out of her office. How hilarious is that? And you got to know, can you imagine Nancy's face? She actually wasn't there that day. She was at Dianne Feinstein's funeral in California. And I would love to have been there when one of her aides calls and says, Madam Speaker Pelosi, we've got a situation. What's going on? I'm very busy right now. Don't you know who I am? Yes, I do. But apparently Speaker McHenry has decided to evict you from your office. He did what? And I guarantee you, words were heard that should not be repeated on this show. I would just hazard the guess that it got a little lively, and it was one of those. Please don't shoot the messenger. I'm just telling you what happened. Anyway, here's the deal. They have nobody for the most part has their true offices in the Capitol. The Speaker has a suite of offices. And key leaders have what they call, they refer to them as hideaway rooms. It's not their real office. It just gives them a chance to walk off the floor and have a meeting room of their own because they've earned it through leadership positions or whatever else. It's been very common, apparently, for members of both party to have a few, but it's at the discretion of the Speaker. And so Nancy Pelosi and her ilk had just gotten rid of McCarthy as Speaker because it was the Democrat votes that made it happen. You could say the Republicans did it, but there were only 8 Republicans that voted against McCarthy. The rest were all Democrat. And so Speaker McHenry, House Speaker, interim House Speaker McHenry, he said, and oh, by the way, that hideaway room you've got, you need to be out by tomorrow because we're going to change the locks. Just, he literally said, he said it will be rekeyed is how he put it. The doors will be rekeyed. Gave her one day, vacate the premises. He didn't stop there. He did the same thing to Steny Hoyer. Now, here's the thing. Here's why I look at it and go, come on, y'all. Just own it, man. Just own it. Everybody knows what that was. You're going to get rid of our dude? Well, guess what? You just lost some privileges. You just lost some of the niceties that you've enjoyed. They're trying to say, though, several GOP lawmakers, story on Fox News, several GOP lawmakers told Fox News Digital the evictions were not rooted in vengeance, but rather because the office is typically reserved for the immediately preceding speaker and that technically she is no longer the immediately preceding speaker. It would be McCarthy who would be granted that hideaway room. Just own it, man. You know what you did. You went at it and said, you know what? How you like me now? And so anyway, that just happened in the swamp. You also heard, by the way, Barry Moore was on the show yesterday. 1819 News wrote a story about his interview here on the show in which he said he was pledging his support to Donald Trump in the first round. Now, they made it clear it's the first round. They're going to do this one time, see what happens. I don't think it's going to pass. But and this is the story on 1819. It was what was said on the show yesterday. He said, Barry Moore, Congressman Moore said, Phil, there are millions. There's a mass of humanity out there saying we want something different in D.C. He said, honestly, when you think about it, whether it's Bud Light or Target, you saw what happened when the mass of humanity laser-focused on it, and then Jason Aldean's song, Try That in a Small Town, Oliver Anthony, Richmond, North of Richmond. He said, there's a movement in this country for something outside of normal party leadership. I don't disagree with that sentiment. I don't think it's going to work. I don't think the Trump thing is going to work. But I don't think that he's wrong when he says there's a movement in this country desperately wanting something other than just what we're seeing status quo constantly. I agree with that. And so that was said yesterday, and the interview was made into a story on 1819 News. Now, when we get back from this break, I'll keep this theme going. So Mitch McConnell had something to say. Why is Mitch McConnell chiming in?
Well, I think what we have is a troubling opportunity here for chaos in the House.
Mitch, do you know where you are right now? You're in the Senate. I get it. He was probably asked a question and he answered the question. But is he really the guy to be speaking to the issues in which conservatives are so uptight right now? He's like the poster child for the reasons why we're angry. He's like the poster child for the reasons why people just want to see something different than what we've got. I mean, daggum, Mitch. Go see your grandkids or something. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Taking a break. We will be right back. All you Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right.
Turn it up.
And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, Alabama. I'm talking about this show, man. Goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, by the way, I'll tell you who else covers down on some major ground, and that's our friends over yonder at Southern Immediate Care. Southern Immediate Care, a chain of clinics all across our listening area. Places like Gadsden, Anniston, Etowah, five locations around Jefferson County. I mean, they've got them all over the place, and the two newest ones being in Chelsea and Hoover. Listen, folks, they're open 7 days a week. And, I mean, think about what that means. You wake up on a Saturday morning, you feel cruddy, or the kid's got a fever. Well, you got to have somewhere to go. You don't want to wait till Monday. You look them up. You find the location nearest to you. Southern Immediate Care. They're there, and they will take walk-ins if necessary. They'll take all ages. We're talking pediatric to geriatric. Southern Immediate Care. And by the way, this is who I use. Absolutely who I use. I've been using them since way longer than they've been advertising on this show. Southern Immediate Care. Every time I've walked in the door, clean, friendly, professional, like what you would hope for, right? So I'm telling you right now, if you need care 7 days a week, Southern Immediate Care, you might want to check them out. And if you do, tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. I would appreciate that. Several text messages, and then I'll jump back into the swamp things, Dipper. Brian from Huntsville says, with the current makeup, two texts. He says, Brian S. from Huntsville says, removing McCarthy was a huge mistake in my opinion. He was leading much more conservatively than either of his two Republican predecessors. Ironically, the conservatives that removed him said they did it because he worked with the Democrats, but they removed him by working with the Democrats to vote to oust him. I cannot argue with your logic there, sir. Then he says, with the current makeup of the House, it'll be much easier for them to get a more liberal speaker than a less liberal one. I am still hoping for Jim Jordan. That's my choice. Craig from Huntsville, humming a long text. He says, maybe a bit late, but with respect to your comment about the military becoming a family enterprise, that's yours, Butters. He says, I agree. I joined because my father was a career military, Air Force, although he said I chose to join to fly the Navy. However, Secretary of the Army Christine Wormuth said she does not want second-generation recruits in the Army because it would create a warrior caste. I'd like to know where she said that. Sir, if you can send me, Craig, if you can send me an article or something that quotes her on that, I want to see it. Because I'm already thinking she needs to retire. Or, I mean, like, let's call for her resignation. Anyway, let me jump back in your text. He said, this is why our military cannot recruit. The leadership is beneath contempt. One of my grandsons wanted to follow my path into naval aviation. I discouraged him. I told him I'll fund him to attend Embry-Riddle and go into civil aviation. That's a crying shame. And I tell you what, Craig, listen, I've got family members. I'll just go ahead and say it. My son's in the Army. And I'll just tell you right now, I still believe it's an honorable profession. Are there issues? Yes. But we've got to have good people, the right people. We got to have folks who care. We got people there for the right reasons to jump in there because we're not going to stop needing them, all right? It's not like, I mean, so first of all, I would say just from what you described there, Craig, that you trust him. You trust your grandson. You like who he is. Isn't that the kind of person you want, though, in the service? And so if we start discouraging the best among us from going into the service, then what are we going to get? We're going to get the dregs. Let's don't settle for the dregs. Let's tell the best among us to go it and do it because it's still an honorable profession. And I'm still proud of, you know, my son every single day. So Craig, I'm just going to encourage you, man. Don't be discouraged. Leadership is not the everything. The rank and file is important and who's there is important. And Christine Wormuth, and by the way, Craig, if you get that article where she says she doesn't want second generation recruits, I want that article. Glenn from Bluntsville says, David Letterman did stupid pet tricks in the back in the day. You should try stupid politician tricks as a dipper. Yeah. Can we do that without the video? James from Harvest says, that was the best Mitch McConnell impression I think I have ever heard, LOL.
Well, I appreciate you saying so, and thank you very much.
Alice from Huntsville says, Phil, you do a perfect impression of old Mitch. You could take it on the road. There's okay, it's a gift I didn't know I had. Navy Phil from Athens says, observation from a lowly HT and a sub-tender sailor. He's got you, man. Mike from Athens says, once you serve your country, you have much more respect for it and what it means. I would agree with that. Okay, speaking of Mitch McConnell, so Mitch weighed in on the ouster of Speaker McCarthy. And granted, I understand why they asked him. I mean, he's the minority leader of the Republicans in the Senate. And then they asked him what he thought about things. And his response was basically, he thinks that it was a bad idea. But, you know, he's weighing in terms of, he says, the House will now select it. This is on town hall, by the way. The House will now select a new speaker next week after Representative Matt Gaetz was successful in booting Speaker Kevin McCarthy. The motion to vacate was passed as 8 Republicans voted with Democrats, and it plunged the lower chamber into chaos. The chance of further mayhem was mitigated when McCarthy announced that he would not seek his own spot, his old spot back. Okay. Senator Mitch McConnell offered a rare comment on the situation in the lower chamber, suggesting that House Republicans remove the motion to vacate to prevent further future pandemonium. What he's saying is, you need to make it harder to get rid of the guys you don't want. Well, keep in mind, that was McCarthy's own fault. McCarthy gave the bullet to Gaetz. McCarthy got the job by making a deal with Gaetz. Part of that deal was, I'll put a rule in place that says, if you think I'm doing a bad job, that one man can go to the floor by himself, you if you want to, and make the motion to vacate the chair. Well, guess what? McCarthy followed through on that, put the rule in place, and Gaetz used it. So Senate Republicans were apparently aghast at the news, with even the most conservative members expressing dismay about McCarthy losing his job. I have no advice to give to House Republicans except one. I got to quit doing the impression. He says, I hope whoever the next speaker is gets rid of the motion to vacate. I think it makes the speaker's job impossible, and the American people expect us to have a functioning government. Now, the assumption there is we have a functioning government. But he says it puts the speaker into a hammerlock of potential dysfunction. He's got a point. I get it. Maybe it's a little higher bar than the one. But you know what? The guy who got booted is the one who put the rule in place. So what's your point, Mitch? Anyway, the article ends with by saying, yeah, you're not really the GOP base's the guy that's so hot with them right now. So maybe you want to just stay on your side of the building. There's that. In terms of who's out there, I'm dragging my paper across the microphone. I'm sorry. A little sound effect for you there. Is it raining outside? No, that's Phil's paper. Jim Jordan has announced he's running. Jim Jordan has also followed up. So first story I had was on Fox News. Second story I've got is on Daily Wire. Some of y'all out there may want to hear this. Jim Jordan, running for House Speaker, also says in the event that he is the Speaker, he is against sending another package to Ukraine. Wow. All right. So he's just basically saying it. Elect me and we'll stop sending blank checks. Now, he's not saying that he would not allow a legislatively appropriated, properly passed budget that included something for Ukraine. He's not saying that. What he's saying is these ad hoc aid packages where we just send a blank check and deplete our own reserves, he says basically that's off the table for him. In a future Jim Jordan speakership, that is off the table. He says, I'm against that. At some point, we're going to have to deal with this appropriations process the right way. And we're going to try and do that in the next 41 days. And the most pressing issue on Americans' mind is not Ukraine. It's the border situation and crime on the streets. And I agree. And if you looked at some of the video about today's, the issues with today on the border, holy crap. Last couple of things before we go to the break here as I deal with swamp things. So, all right, this stuff about Trump being nominated to be the Speaker of the House. Well, we've talked about it. We've had our opinions. Butters and Lee had their opinions. I've had my opinion. All God's children got an opinion. What does Trump think about it? Well, he's Trump, so he's going to like the idea that Trump's in the front of people's minds. But story on Daily Caller says former President Donald Trump addressed calls for him to be Speaker of the House after the ousting of Kevin McCarthy. While leaving the courtroom and addressing the media Wednesday, Trump was asked about calls for him to be the next Speaker of the House, to which he said, wait for it, wait for it, that he would do whatever is best for the country, but made it clear he's focused on running for president. See, there it is. What we got right now is there are some guys that are going to nominate him, and we know that Troy Nails, Barry Moore from Alabama, Marjorie Taylor Greene, a number of others are saying they're in, they'll do it, they'll go for it. But at the same time, what does Trump want to do? Well, Trump is basically saying, oh, isn't that good? I got another thing I've got going on, fellas. I almost felt like that was the most tepid answer you could give. Well, I am honored to be considered, but certainly you understand that I have other things going on right now. Anyway, so that's the quote. He said he would do whatever's best for the country, but made it clear he's focused on running for president. So those of y'all that think that he's clamoring for the job, I'm pretty sure he's not. And I'm pretty sure he's got bigger fish to fry right now. And we need to see this not be a three-ring circus. All right, we're taking a break right now. We'll take the break. We'll come right back from it. And then we're in go-home mode, y'all. It's Thursday afternoon. Friday Eve, yeah, we got some go-home time for you. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, hey, by the way, let me tell you who else is a lot of times just plain right, and that's our friends at ZLA Solutions. ZLA Solutions, I mean, they are doing amazing things to help businesses all over our listening area and really beyond. ZLA Solutions, they can come in and do stuff to help you make your business better. They can bring in various different business solutions that you need for things like sorting and containment, quality control, logistics, warehousing. But y'all, their bread and butter remains helping you find the people you need. And from the discussion we just had a little while ago about labor force participation, it's obvious that a bunch of y'all out there need people. So they can do it, ZLA Solutions. They can do the recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing if necessary. They can find them blue collar, white collar, or no collar. It don't matter. If you need people, and we know a lot of folks do, then consider contacting ZLA Solutions. You can find them on their website at zlausa.com. That's ZLA Solutions at zlausa.com. These are friends of mine. I believe in who they are and what they do. And if you call them, tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. All right, I got a caller on the line. Line one, Jeff Rowe from Indiana. Hey, brother, how you doing? How's your sweet wife?
Well, we're doing real good, Phil, but she's out of surgery and conscious and talkative and everything, good spirits, but the procedure didn't quite work. The device wouldn't work in her case, which just means she's going to have to be on blood thinners for a while until they come up with a different solution.
Well, okay. So, I mean, I hate to hear that, man. I hate to have any procedure that you have to do that doesn't come out the way you want it to, but she's okay, though? I mean, she's not in jeopardy in any way, right?
No. Anybody with AFib out there has probably been talked about it. It's called a watchman.
Yeah.
Which basically, everybody's got an atrial appendage, and it keeps the blood from pooling in there. People have AFib. You generally have pooling in that area, and it could cause a stroke.
Well,
so
she'll be on blood thinners, and she's been on them for a while. So, but is she in good spirits? Is she all right right now?
Yeah, she's okay with it. Like I say, she was a little disappointed, but yeah, she's in good spirits. So that's right. The main thing.
All right. Well, hey, blessings on you, brother, and her.
Thank you. I appreciate everybody's prayers and well wishes, and she appreciates it too. But, you know, Phil, I think that maybe you should think about having a new career, or at least adding on a career to your many things that you do already.
Well, I don't know that I can fit anything else in, man. I'll let you talk to Charlene about that. What, pray tell, what would it be?
Well, it doesn't happen very often, but I think you need to be the voice of Mitch McConnell when he locks up. I think he would probably say something that's more intelligent than the things he utters already.
So when he has those freeze up moments, they go, Phil, and I go, oh, excuse me, I was not intending to freeze up like I just did.
Just like Jeff Dunham and his little dolls. You just walk up behind him and start making his mouth move, and you can put the words in there.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, how much does it pay? I might look into that.
Hey, I don't know. It just pays whatever. Hey, GOP's got deep pockets, man. They need to keep him in there until at least the next session, because they got a Democrat governor in Kentucky.
Oh, all right, brother. Well, listen, y'all get some rest. And are you on the road tomorrow or no?
No, we're taking it easy. We're spending the night in the hospital, and just to make sure everything goes good, and be home tomorrow. So I appreciate all the prayers and blessings everybody's put upon me, and I deeply appreciate that.
Absolutely. Well, we appreciate you, and tell her we said so. Tell her we appreciate her even more than you. How about that?
Well, that goes without saying, honey.
We'll see you, Jeff.
Have a good one, Phil.
You too, bud. Looking over the text line here, Alice from Huntsville, she said about the perfect impression of Mitch, says, you have it, do it more. Okay, thanks. Rob from Madison, brand spanking new in the text line, Rob from Madison. He says, been listening for a while. I think we need families or legacy of families with legacy military service, I believe he's saying. He says, my family's been serving since the Revolutionary War. Well, thank you, Rob. Thank you for your family service. Absolutely. That's pretty neat. I can tell you right now, I've got the not only the personal experience with them, but I've got the documentation for. I've got my great-grandfather's discharge certificate from World War I, and it shows the campaigns he was in. And then I've got, of course, my grandfather, my father, myself, and now my son. Craig from Huntsville says, Phil, cannot argue with your logic. Oh, this is back on that. Yeah, I'm sorry. Craig from Huntsville says, cannot argue with your logic. My concern is my grandson's life being wasted by incompetent leadership at the political and senior military level. I get that, man. I do. He says, remember the 13 killed in the Afghanistan debacle? Yes, I do. I do. No military leaders fired in response to your request. And then he gives me there is a link. Thank you, brother. I knew there'd be one out there. I would have been spent all day trying to find it. He says, your belief we need good young members in our military or we will get bad ones. Please consider the good ones will be the ones who die because the bad ones and the leadership will not carry the weight. Okay. Well, listen, but I'm going to stand by my comments, Craig. It's an honorable profession, the profession of arms, and we need the best among us to lean into it. James from Alabaster says, LOL, that's Mitch all the way. The impression took the show to a new level. Tony from Tony says, Mark from Tony, if you put Mitch and Biden in a sack and shook it up, he'd pull them out, you wouldn't be able to tell them apart. There you go. Mark from Laredo, Tennessee says, what we need is a common sense Speaker of the House. I would agree with that. And then John from Huntsville comes in with the grades. He says, Lee's fantastic performance earned her an A+. However, she would have gotten an A++, but I had to count off 10 points for her terrible Dale Jackson impersonation. Says, Phil, I decided to only count off 2 points today for not completing the triple dipper, so you still get an A+. So I'm just being honest, but I said, but I feel like Butters gave a near-perfect performance, so he deserves an A++, is once again the winner. But then he follows up by saying, Phil, you just earned 10 extra credit points for that Mitch McConnell impersonation.
Well, thank you. I appreciate all the people that we're here to serve.
I'd like to give one of those pluses to Lee. I think she deserves it.
Are you?
I wouldn't give it to you.
Are you sharing with your pluses with Lee?
I am.
You're a kind soul. You're a kind soul, sir. All right. Listen, amazing show today. Amazing show again tomorrow. You guys, we will see you back here tomorrow at 2:00. Yeah, me and Butters, 2:00, Right Side Radio. Love you. Have a great night. We'll see you then.